And maybe you haven't heard of Vice Media, but you have certainly felt its impact. Last year, Vice brokered former NBA star Dennis Rodman's trip to North Korea with Vice camera crews and a correspondent in tow. Here's Rodman addressing North Korean leader Kim Jong-un after a game.
I'm sorry that my country and your country are not on good terms. But for me and the country, you have a friend for life, sir. Thank you. You have a friend for life.
Well, that documentary and that trip caused a firestorm, but Vice CEO Shane Smith, in an expletive-laced response, said it wasn't a stunt. It was set up to gain unparalleled access to the hardest place in the world to photograph, and it worked. So there. Vice Media launched in 1994, has a monthly alternative newspaper in Montreal. Now it's an empire, a show on HBO, a record label, a print magazine, a publishing branch, and a heavy online presence, which last month started a news outlet. Forbes calls it all punk media for punkish people. According to CEO Smith, 2012 revenues were at $175 million and could be a billion in 2 years, with journalism that is often as rough and tumble as he is. Here he is on CBS.
Every generation you have a changing of the guard in media.
Right.
Woodward and Bernstein were the punks of their generation, and now they're the old guard. And by definition, when you have a changing of the guard, you have a different language. If you have a different language, then the people who are in the status quo say, well, that's not news because you're not doing it the same way I'm doing it.
Let's bring in David Folkenflik, NPR's media correspondent. David, for those who haven't seen any of the Vice Empire, the New York Times calls it journalism at the intersection of shallow and gullible. How would you describe it? I know. Ouch.
Well, you look, it's a journalism that's done with a lot of bravado, a lot of voice, a lot of very personalized accounting of seeing things that are both colorful, provocative, often upsetting. You know, they'll delve into the universe of the porn industry, or delve into incredible conflict in places that are strife-torn around the world that becomes its own kind of, in a sense, a crisis porn, or you know, in some ways, porn is a way of indicating it. It is shocking. It is also at times very compelling. I was watching a documentary done by a guy who's done a lot of stuff for the BBC and Al Jazeera as well, who's talking about the Tartars in Crimea, sort of a forgotten people amid the conflict among the Russians and the Ukrainians there, and you know, the amazing thing is this was very thoughtful stuff. It's very much done first person, you're kind of taken along for the ride. But people are allowed to speak in their own voices, too. And there was a thoughtfulness, even as the tenor of it was designed to appeal and demand the attention of the target audience. And what Vice has done so well in all of these platforms is really speak a vernacular that works for particularly men, but people under the age of 35, especially, call it between the ages of 18 and 24. Mm-hmm. So you can argue that it's a punk kind of journalism for you know, done by punks. And there's some truth to that. You can argue that what was done with this Dennis Rodman trip to North Korea is a stunt, and I think it definitely was. It did also give the cameras of Shane Smith some incredible camera access there.
Yeah. I'm on the website, by the way, and it's as you says there. Wow, look at that. There's a piece about Tartar Nation, the other Crimea, but then some other stuff is couched in ways that you feel like you've wandered. Where have I wandered to? But what do you think about Shane Smith and his projections? This idea of, you know, he's saying he might rival Twitter if he goes public with a selling.
Well, just to give you a sense, the market cap, which is the way you talk about how the market values a company, of Twitter was earlier this morning just under $25 billion. Rupert Murdoch a year ago took money of one of his major companies, 21st Century Fox, and got a 5% stake in the company that would have meant that the total value of the company was about $1.4 billion. So a year later, you know, if he's saying it's worth 10 times twice that, I think that he's, you know, stretching credibility. It's hard for me to imagine that. That said, you know, they claim that they've been able to increase profit margins something like 28%, reaching 35%. They think they can hit 50% profit margins in a couple years. They hope to acquire, they claim, a TV channel to serve as a straight drip, I guess, of their own videos and programming rather than teaming as much with HBO and with MTV. But you know, theirs is a real success story, and it's done a lot on partly a bluff and partly bravado, and then he kind of makes a lot of it come true. You know, the content, when you look at it from a media critic standpoint, not all of it is done with a way that you think renders the full complexity of life's occurrences. But, you know, there's some really good stuff there and interesting stuff there as well. From a financial standpoint, he's had great growth. You know, it seems to me he wants to be talked of in the same neighborhood as these other companies. But, you know, Twitter is a long way away, and it also has a much cheaper footprint if you think about all that they do with so few employees.
Yeah, I'm looking again. There's a piece on a homeless poet. There's another piece I can't really talk about on the air right there.
You mentioned that's great for their audience, yeah, right?
Yes, I suppose it is. David Folkenflik, NPR's media correspondent, commenting on Vice, the media empire. David, thanks so much.
You bet.
And by the way, when you guys were talking about Tatars, you're saying Tatar the people, not Tartar the sauce.
No, right. Okay, this is Crimea. Right.
Right.